Hello, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the evening. Reedley City Council meeting for July 28th, 2020. And rolling. Moving ahead. This evening, the invocation will be done by Mr. Russ Robertson, Public Works Director. And Council Member Bencourt will be doing the Pledge of Allegiance. If you please would stand.
Good evening. Bow with me if you would. Our Father, we pray for peace and unity in our nation. And Lord, we pray that the spirit of love would surpass all else. Lord, we ask for healing in this land, that during this difficult time, that you remind us who you are and that we have nothing to fear if we put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon this meeting this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join the council in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Here.
Councilmember Bencourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fass.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Pignon.
Here. Agenda approval for this evening. Are there any additions or deletions?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Bencourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Pignon.
Yes. Very good. We start off with a presentation this evening by Moses Stites, General Manager of Fresno County Rural Transit Agency. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, members of the council, it's my pleasure to be here this evening. I always have a fond memories coming out here to Reedley. Just very briefly, my in-laws had a cabin up at the Cedars, so there were quite a few residents from the Reedley area that had cabins up there and still do their offsprings. I think the Bergdahls had a cabin next to my in-laws up there. And my wife and I were just up there about 3 weeks ago, and it was probably 86 degrees up there, so it was a little cooler. But up there at Pinehurst and then headed up to the Cedars there. So, but anyway, I wanted to give you an update on the transition that we successfully transitioned with the help of you folks, the city council, and also the staff in transitioning this service that was operated by the city of Reedley and transitioned to MV Transportation, which commenced on July 1st of 2019. And I can tell you that aside from the pandemic, the operations have been very successful. As far as the drivers, we have three buses assigned to the city of Reedley, Monday through Friday. And then we also provide service on Saturday, which there's a lot of individuals who need to get out of the house, go to shopping for essential services, quality of life issues as well. And that's worked out well. We've also continued to provide support in working with your staff. Sarah calls us for transportation. We still do to some of the activities that the seniors enjoy doing, the outings, and we continue to do that and we'll provide that continuous service. The last time I was here before you, those were the commitments that we would that we committed to and that we're living up to. The downside are the numbers, obviously, because of the pandemic. Throughout the United States and California, ridership has probably fallen anywhere between 60 and 80%. For us, it's averaged probably 40 to 60%. We have the regular riders who need the transportation, and as of recent, I believe it was July 18th or June 18th, I forgot the days and the months these days, but when that order came out that everybody must wear masks in public and also for buses, it was a requirement. Prior to that, it was a recommendation. but when that mandate came out, we required it. Now, our bus drivers use the masks. They also clean the vehicle in between trips, especially the common areas where, you know, people touch the areas and get on and off. And we transport individuals, and they still rely on that service. So I'm very pleased to report that aside from the pandemic's effects on the numbers, which have affected, I'm sure, your city services as well dramatically, not to mention a drain on the resources as well. But I'm just going to share a couple of highlights with you that we are in partnership with you as a member agency. I see your staff at several of the committee meetings, the city manager, Nicole, Mary Fast, who's on our FCRTA board. So she keeps close eye and tabs on me, especially the budget and everything else. So, you know, appreciate that, Mary. But just to let you know, the total passengers for this past year were 20,476. Of those passengers, 5,025 were disabled, and 33,649 seniors, and 11,802 general public. We also help offset expenses for the Dinuba bus that comes from Dinuba into Reedley, because it has a lot of residents there who need services in Reedley. And FCRTA sees that as an important integration to the city of Reedley for connectivity purposes, and aside in addition to the college. And that system provided approximately 16,000 riders for this past year. It also dropped because we stopped two routes this year, and that was the Reedley College routes, the one from Sanger to Reedley and the one from Kingsburg to Reedley. And the Kingsburg one stopped in Selma, Fowler, Parlier to Reedley. And I met with the president, new president of the college prior to that, and we've been in communication. And as soon as the school opens up again, other than online, we'll continue the service one way or the other. So it was a decision that they made, and that's why the ridership had dropped. We also operate the Orange Cove Intercity, which starts in Orange Cove, goes to Fresno, and stops in Reedley, Parlier, Sanger, into Fresno. So we have continuous service, providing and connecting Reedley. So we're very proud to have those interconnections and the intra-city transportation as well. And we continue to do a couple of other partnerships in collaboration with city staff, with your police chief. We have a security safety agreement. It is a lot more cost effective for FCRTA and the city of Reedley to engage in an agreement with the police department, city of Reedley, to be available to us and provide services, which they have from time to time. We get a few people that come on board with a brown paper bag and they're drinking stuff they shouldn't be. It's not Kool-Aid or Gatorade. Yeah. So they often assist us with helping them deboard and other issues. So we really appreciate that, Chief. And then we're working with your public works director to provide assistance with the charging units. We're proud to be a part of that. And that solar charging unit out here, Rob, bless his soul, every opportunity he gets, I see him, Moses, when are we going to get another solar charging unit? Moses, when are we going to get another one? You know, the city of Reedley really needs one, and we could really use one. I know you have 13 other cities, but, you know, city of Reedley really needs one. I said, Rob, I'm working on it, you know? So lo and behold, I finally got a call from an organization that has had five of them. And I said, you know, I really need eight. So I was a little pushy. So we're working on the agreement, and one of those eights is going to land here in Reedley. I just need to find the location, Rob. Maybe you can help me with that. So you'll get another solar charging units. These are $60,000 units, and they don't require any direct hookups. It saves on a lot of energies, and it promotes the zero emission vehicle concept. So Rob, I was listening, and I'm hoping to deliver, okay? You're welcome. You're welcome. So anyway, in all seriousness, and the best part of this arrangement that and the transition that we've had, there has been approximately $200,000 to $250,000 cost savings. And that cost savings is really going to be reeled in by the city through their claims, through the claims process, through the Transportation Development Act, through the various articles. There's Article 4, Article 4.5, Article 8. They all represent bicycles, pedestrian safety, transit. And what happens is if FCRTA doesn't claim that money, all of it, then it goes to the member agencies. And Reedley being one of the 13 member agencies, then you're available to receive that money when the COG releases it and makes its availability, which I'm sure Paul stays on top of continuously. So, and I apologize for throwing out these names, but they're wonderful people who keep close tabs on me. So I'll leave you with that, and if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to address them. And good to see all of you again, and thank you for the warm invitation.
Thank you, Mr. Stites. That's great news. And, you know, I get a lot of great compliments from drivers about drivers. And, you know, they're more, some people have said that they're courteous, they're prompt, and they don't leave them hanging as it used to be. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
It's good to hear those comments. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a good thing.
I don't get a lot of positive and good comments.
Yeah, they're out there.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you. That.
Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, I got one comment. I've always liked Moses' attitude towards the cities. He has 13 special cities in Fresno County. There's not just one. He takes care of all of his members, and he does a great job. And you have kept this thing floating for a long time now, Moses, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I, too, thank you for serving our city in particular, and I think you kind of have a special place for Reedley, so we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Also, too, you did a good job. People appreciate it here. You have a lot of people that don't drive at the app, so it's good.
Thank you.
Your program that picks up these kids and brings them to the college, you know, that's a real benefit to a lot of low-income kids.
There are
looking for an education.
Yeah, there are, and we work with the college to implement a pass program for the college students because some of them are on limited income, fixed income, whatever, or no income at all. So. We work with the college to offer bus passes at $30 or $35 a month compared to the $60 to $90 a month. And this month, too, I just may add, which just reminded me, I have before the board, which Mary will be attending the board meeting Thursday, we're going to initiate that veterans will also be able to ride for free. Currently, all disabled and seniors ride for free. And we use our funding from Measure C to augment those fares. You know, nothing's really free, but there's no charge to the seniors and the elderly. And now we want to extend that courtesy to veterans. You know, there's just so much out there with the veterans, and we think that that is a population that needs any assistance that they can get. And if it's public transit, all the more power that we can do that, and I think it'll be a good deal. So I'm sure you see that on the agenda, Mary. And then the last thing I want to leave you with is MV Transit has been very successful in the safety of our passengers. I can tell you there have not been any at-fault accidents in the 2 years that they've operated. We've had very few, if any, slips and falls, because we require the drivers to get out from their seat, stand by the ramp. The previous service provider, 1 to 2 accident slips and falls per week, 1 to 5 at-fault accidents every month. And, you know, it got to the point where if I didn't do something, I would be derelict in my duty. And I'll tell you, that in itself is the safety of our residents in every city. Is paramount, and I can tell you that it's been an extreme success, and that's another highlight.
Yes. Thanks again. Appreciate the work you've done. And I've always said, you know, relationship is big. It's huge, the essence of success. And the fact that you have a relationship with our staff to get things done and get things taken care of, you know, that's, I think that has a lot to do with how things work out. And the fact that you have that relationship with our staff and our staff with you, I think it's a successful venture. And with the transition we went through, I think that's all added to that whole picture. So thank you so much for the way it all turned out.
You're welcome, and thank you for the invitation again. I appreciate it.
Very good. We move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns and complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Any questions or comments from the public? And we do have a phone number you can call if you're wanting to share your comment. The number is 559-637-4200, extension 290. And we'll give you a few minutes to call in. Very good. We since we had no calls, we move on. No one here that has any questions from the public. We move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of the ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Are there any items that council wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove 5 and 6.
I make a motion to approve the rest of the agenda.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Bat?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Item 5. Adopt Resolution 2020-064, approving and accepting the fiscal year 2020-2021 claims for Measure C local transportation funds from the Fresno County Transportation Authority. Engineering, Mary Lou?
Yes. Is there any questions I can answer?
Just a clarification, is this the general monies that we get each year from the Measure C, or is this monies that were left over?
No, this is the general allocation that we receive on a yearly basis.
Okay. And so it's split by the street maintenance. We have to use them for all these different things?
Yes, so based on our population, it gets split this way. Some of the smaller cities get more flexible funding because they don't have the pedestrian trail and bicycle facilities, but because we are over 25,000 in population, they break it down even more.
Okay, and just to make a note for the public that this Measure C is going to be up for the vote again in, I think, a year or two, that the county will have to vote on whether or not they want to continue that. So to all of our voters, this is what Reedley gets out of it. So it is a lot of money to us. Thank you.
Yeah, and it is helpful. We use it as our local match on our federal projects, which has been great.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Do we need to ask the public for questions?
Yes.
Are there any questions from the public? And we do have a phone line you can call in, 637-4200, extension 290. Very good. We had no callers, so do we have a motion to approve number 5?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignoli?
Yes. Item 6, staff recommends that the City Council take the following actions to fund the school daycare program at T.L. Reed and Washington Schools.
Good evening, Sarah Reed, Community Services Director. I will answer any questions to the information we have today. And I kind of chuckle because things are changing so quickly when we discuss this item. That was with the intention of school going back in. And as you know, that is not going to happen. They're starting in a virtual capacity. But there is still discussion between the city and the district and CYM with helping the school staff with their children during the day, because we know the school staff, administration, and people that work at the district are going to have a hardship. As you know, the governor has allowed for essential worker type of daycare. So we are kind of exploring the idea, could after school providers help with some of that during the regular day? But at this point, a decision hasn't been made firmly, and I think they're discussing it a little bit further tonight. But that's where the conversation is going right now. So I know you probably have other questions, but just to kind of bring you up to speed from when I submitted this item to where the discussion is now.
Well, I'm just kind of confused because this is saying that they're going to do child care at school. So why aren't they in school?
This is when they had their, this is when they had their modified schedule. So they were looking at what they rolled out to their parents in June, that there was going to be 2 days on every other Wednesday. And so, but first and second grade was going to be on all day. Kindergarten was going to be split. So they saw a need that parents may have for just the grades of third through fifth to allow them some kind of opportunity if they had no other child care to come and kind of be in a babysitting type of environment. And so they wanted to offer this to their working parents that just needed supervision for their children. And so that's what they were hoping to do for just the third through fifth graders.
I just to me, this defeats the purpose of school, but I guess I'm not in charge of the schools right now. I just wanted kind of a clarification of what you knew as of now. So if the school, quote, opens again on a part-time basis, then this will go into effect.
Then, yes, this will be looked at again. And I think everyone's just trying to be creative within the parameters we have to help the parents, to help the children, to be there to just help us all through this. And so I appreciate the city and the district just being creative with the regulations we have to try to help our families during this time. And so, yes, if they go back to a modified schedule, this will be discussed again, or we may help in a smaller capacity with supporting the school staff when they're at school working.
So is there a maximum, like in a room, that count of people that can be there?
I'm sure that will all be part of their opening backup plans. Yeah, because I know they were already making those modifications. They were doing a summer school to roll that out and get children used to it, and parents and trial.
Yeah.
So they were kind of working through all these pieces and felt very good about it. But now the decision is not theirs. So regrouping and trying to figure out what's the best as things start to loosen up again.
I think we all need to call the governor's office. This is crazy.
So will this be just for the staff at those two schools?
They're still working through that. They're talking about that. What is the need? What could we do? CYM and I have had lots of discussions about what can we do to help support, because our staff is eager to work. We have the staff to work. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know, with us going to a virtual school, our workload is going to cut in half. Mm-hmm. CYM is losing like 30 staff. We're losing about 15 because some of the funds that used to come from the school to get kids off the waiting list, we're not going to use for that because we're in a virtual setting. So all we have is the ACES contract and then Save the Children at this point. Mm. So unfortunately, we're both not going to be able to bring back all of our staff. So if we do some program like this, at least we can bring some of the staff back. You know what I mean? It helps us kind of work. Don and I have a real concern of what it's going to look like because things happen so fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so as soon as we let our staff know you don't have positions, of course they're going to look for other things. I would expect them to.
Sure.
So when school comes back, if it opens up as quick as it closed, which it might not, there's just some concern that about being able to bring staff. So the more that we can retain, the better position it puts us in when we get to a little more of a normal type schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I thank you for being so creative and patient and understanding. And boy, I tell you, I wouldn't mind your job. Yeah, it's like you said, you know, things change so quick, and by the time you're already getting that program set and the layout and everything, it's changing.
Yeah. So
yeah, thank you for your.
We've all learned to be very flexible.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the new norm anymore, is it?
It is.
Any other questions or comments?
You know, with the cases in California going up so high, and also Fresno County.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a feeling that, you know, we can make some decisions here tonight that will approve, and then in a few weeks or whatever, if this thing doesn't start slowing down,
mm-hmm.
we're going to make some changes all over again.
You're absolutely right.
You know, and I feel sorry for the businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're the ones that are taking a hard bump on what's happening.
Well, and I feel sorry for the families with the younger kids.
Exactly.
That, you know, if both parents are working, those kids are going to be freeloaders.
You know, right now, the teachers, there's some that want to go back, some that don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
going to be interesting where it finally ends up.
To see what the new norm will be. That'll be very interesting. Very good. Any other questions from the council? We need to ask questions from the public. Do we have any questions from the public? You have time to call in, 637-4200, extension 290. Very good. We move on. And Sarah, don't go anywhere. Item 7, adopt resolution 2020-066, declaring listed vehicle. Oh, no.
We need a vote on 6.
Sorry.
Six.
Motion to approve number 6.
Second.
I apologize.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Absolutely. Now we go to item 7.
Item 8, Mayor.
I'm sorry?
Item 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we approved that already.
Yeah.
Approve the second request from River City Theater Company to waive the rent payment for the remainder of the calendar year due to financial impact of COVID-19.
Yes.
Sarah Reed.
Sarah Reed, Community Services Director. If you recall, in April, the city received the first request from River City Theater Company. Due to the impact of COVID-19, they were asking that their rent be waived for the months of April and May in the amount of $2,000, and that was improved on April 28th. Since that time, they have not been able to return to any facet of their business. So they have no income currently coming in. And as far out as they plan their plays and do their auditions and different things, they are really at a crossroad of making a decision if they see any type of operations for this calendar year, and they do not. So the board of director has voted that they are going to cease their season to 2019 and 20 season. So they are coming back to the city asking for another consideration to waive their rent for the remainder of the calendar year. This would include the months of June to December in the amount of $7,100. Because of COVID-19, there are different funding sources that have become available. We know about the CARES Act, just some of the different things where the state and different funding mechanisms are trying to support agencies through this times with special equipment that they have to purchase or due to loss of revenue. So staff will look for an opportunity so that this isn't a negative impact on the general fund. But before us tonight, we have to make a decision about the request that's in front of us, and that's if we will go ahead and honor the waiving of their rent for June to December. And staff is making the recommendation that we go ahead and waive that rent due to the impact that they are feeling and no income that's available to them. I did write in the report that this is an ever-changing climate, right? We were opened up a little bit and then we closed down. So if any part of their business starts to come back, I ask that they let us know about that, because we know that there are church groups that meet there. They do have small gatherings. So if they are able to bring any type of their business back, we would want the opportunity to revisit if the rent would continue to be waived for that full amount. So just to let you know, that will be communicated to them if this is approved tonight.
Okay. Do you know if there, I mean, this is probably premature, but has there been any conversation about next year, or are they just planning on closing completely, or?
I'd have to ask Mark where that conversation is going with their board. I think right now they're just trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills for the remainder of this year. But I can definitely visit that with him when I call him tomorrow and talk about this and just kind of fill out, what are you thinking?
Yes.
You know, for events at the community center, we're a little hesitant to book anything before the first of the year.
Sure.
And so we're kind of taking things on a case-to-case basis and being very clear with people that 2 weeks before, we may close you down because there's just this ever-changing climate. And so I'm sure they're feeling that too, because the nature of their business is very similar to ours,
right.
Indoor type of venue. So, but I can get a better feel for that, Mayor, and let you guys know kind of what they're thinking into next year.
Thank you. Any questions from the council or comments?
I think we should approve this.
Yeah.
I think they've worked really hard to be good stewards of the money that they've received, mm-hmm. and this has put them in a really tight place because they have no other way to really make money other than that facility to be utilized, and it can't be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I will share with you, as you said that, council member, something clicked in my head that the president, Mark, said. He said, Sarah, if we do receive a large donation, we will let you know. So I think they are trying to be transparent about what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's also hard to seek donations when you have no operations. But he did say that when I talked to him on the phone.
Okay.
Very good. Do we, we'd like to give the public opportunity to comment. 637 4200, extension 290. Call in if you have any questions or comments. Very good. We had no call, so I'd like to ask, is there any motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pinion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Item 9, adopt resolution 2020-067, amending the fiscal year 2020-21 adopted budget, recognizing and appropriating $200,000 in the general fund for Fresno County Transportation Authority transit-oriented development Measure C extension grant funds for the development of phase two of the Reedley Family Apartments project.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Brief item here before you, some good news for the city in regards to finishing a project that has been in the works for a long time in the development world, and that's the Reedley Family Apartments project. As the council may remember, phase one was completed a number of years ago, I believe 2014, when the state of California allowed the city of Reedley, or actually the former redevelopment agency, to use $750,000 that was previously dedicated to the phase one project. It was almost clawed back by the state, and staff worked exceptionally hard to try to get the state to approve those funds in the midst of the dissolution of the redevelopment agencies. It was something that we got done at the 11th hour, literally before the money was set to be clawed back. So phase one was completed, but it was just that, phase one. And phase two was basically waiting in the wings. It was completely designed. It was made. The entire property was designed so that phase two would fit perfectly there. Everything's ready to go. All that we were waiting for was the tax credits that the developer was applying for from the state of California, specifically the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee. The development company applied for the tax credits not once but twice. They were successful this past year, so we were notified in June 2020 that they were successful in getting tax credits at the highest level, and that essentially allows the developer the financial incentives to make the project work financially. But that didn't just work with the tax credits. There was also a financial contribution from the city of $125,000 that the council approved last year. So with that, what we're asking the council to do tonight is to appropriate out of a grant award the $125,000 to make the funding whole for this phase two project. Grant funding is coming from the Fresno County Transportation Authority transit-oriented development funds. The city applied for this competitive grant source last year, and we were successful, as along with a number of other projects that were outside of the Fresno Clovis metropolitan area. So this is one of the first projects, Rob, to be actually delivered under this program outside of the Fresno and Clovis metro area. So that's something we can be extremely proud of. Sort of all the pieces are fitting together perfectly here for this project to move forward, as well as to have minimal impact on the city's actual funds, because the $125,000 contributions coming out of the transit-oriented development funding, it does not impact our own local funds that we would have ordinarily contributed toward the project. We are waiving 100% of the development impact fees for the project. So that's part of how the developer was able to score so high with the state of California, because of our own contribution to the project. So that said, the transit-oriented development grant is $200,000. So what we're requesting tonight is that the council appropriate $125,000 to be used towards our contribution to the project, and the remaining $75,000 to go back to the development impact fees that were waived for the project. So the development impact fees are around $351,000. So the $75,000 is only a partial reimbursement, but it's more than we would have gotten had we not been awarded the TOD funds from the Fresno County Transportation Authority. So all in all, very positive. We're hoping for a smooth process on the construction side. The plans have already been submitted to the community development department, and they're finalizing their review of those plans now. We're looking to close the financing package next week if the council approves this tonight, and they will be breaking ground very soon. I would say next month if all goes as planned.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. How quick will they turn dirt?
Yes, and I think they're planning something in regards to like a shoveling of dirt of some kind. So we'll let everybody know as those plans get rolled out. We'll have to be wearing these, of course.
Out there. Shovel 6 feet apart.
Six feet apart, but not 6 feet down. So
maybe.
Okay, I'll let you
never know.
So that said, that completes my presentation. Thanks, Bob.
This will be 32 units, right?
Yes, 32 units, and it'll be the same low to moderate income housing that is currently there with phase one, the 48 units. Again, completes the entire project.
Nice.
Finally.
It'll be a nice
on the
conference.
Books a long time.
Oh, yeah.
To get finished, yeah.
Yes,
it,
sir.
It will be nice to get rid of that turf out there, right?
I think it's very, yes. Yes. Yes.
And this also helps meet our housing standards if I'm...
I think any kind of affordable housing. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Rena numbers.
Yes.
Any other comments from the council?
No, it's good. We need them.
Questions from the public? You're welcome to call in. 637-4200, extension 290. Call in, please.
So while we're waiting for the public, if they'd like to call in, I just want to call out that this was truly a joint project between community development and our department. So we, this is a joint project between the two of us, so it couldn't have happened with that. Mr. Terry's help. Yep.
I have a question, Paul. Does that have to go out to the neighborhood to let them know that they're going to add on?
Speaking of which, Rob, you want to answer that question?
Members of the council, Mayor, Rob Terry, Community Development Director. So that's an excellent question. Because this is included in the original approval, there is no additional notification or anything that would need to go out associated with this. We are very proactive in our community, though, and so we do certainly make sure that there is still at least social media presence, working with the various community groups to send out those type of notices to just so people at least understand, hey, you're going to see some dirt moving, you're going to see some of these items. If you have any questions, here's the appropriate contact at community development so that we can address any of those concerns. But there isn't anything formal that would go out as far as a required public notice.
So it's already taken care of.
Yeah. If you remember, this project was the very first project that I worked on as an intern here. So it's been a little while. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be pretty neat to see sticks and bricks going up on this one.
You know, I think, Ms. Betancourt, that is such an exceptional comment and question that you had, because what inevitably will happen is we will have a neighborhood saying, you never told us this would happen, when in fact we did tell them many times, but it's taken so long that there is no legal requirement. So we've had the same situation happen in the north end of town where a neighborhood said they were never notified. Well, in fact, they were notified. It's just, it's been so long. So you may hear people complaining about lack of notice, and that's where Rob is saying, as a reminder, we'll try to get some public information out to the community, but there are no approval rites that still need to be done, and our community may not remember what happened years ago with this.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
I suppose caller time's up. Yes? Did we have another question? Oh, we have. Yes, sir. Would you please come to the podium and state your name, please?
Hi, my name's Leon Rickman, and I was just wondering, where's this groundbreaking, where's this, the location of this?
Behind City Yard.
It is?
Down High Street.
Yeah, down High Street.
Oh.
Yeah, you know where you know where the City Yard is, Leon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's right behind it. It's that project that's right behind it.
Oh, there's a complex there right now.
Yes, there's already a complex. In fact, 48 units, I believe, has already been built on this.
I was just curious.
No. Good question. Good question.
Thank you. Very good. Do we have a motion to approve this project?
Motion.
Second.
I'll second it.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember
Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember
Salino?
Yes.
Mayor
Pignon?
Yes.
We move on to our workshop number 10 on the status of Reedley Armory.
Yes. Admin. So Rob and I are going to tag team this. I'll get us started and then I'll turn it over to Rob. As you know, we've been working a city staff for the last couple of years, in fact, on the armory site, working with the Reedley Area Vets. Several years ago, unbeknownst to us, the Reedley Armory was part of a larger bill, a larger piece of legislation up at the state to surplus out a variety of armories up and down the state because they no longer met the state National Guard's needs. They are realigning the way that they do their operations. We don't disagree with the operational need or the surplusing out of the armories. What we heartily disagreed with was the way this legislation came about, the fact that we were not notified, the fact that the Reedley Area Vets that have a current lease were not notified. And so unfortunately, by the time we were all noticed that this armory was going to be surplused out and sold to the highest bidder, the legislation had already passed through the state and could not be undone, so to speak. So we were notified because we received a letter from the state asking if we wanted to purchase the site, we would have right of first refusal once the state had done an appraisal on the property. As you know, we don't have money sitting around for the purchasing an armory, and the state's appraisal came back at well over $500,000 for this parcel that we think is nowhere near $500,000 given the asbestos, given the lack of HVAC, the lack of electrical capacity, all sorts of problems. Nonetheless, the Reedley Area Vets also were not aware of all of this, and they were told last minute as well that their lease would be terminated and that they would need to find a new location for both their meeting space as well as the events that they hold that benefit the vets in our community. So we jumped on that, and we're working with Townsend Public Affairs, even though Townsend is only our grant writing firm because they also do lobbying. They really jumped in to help us and connected us with Senator Hurtado's office, and Senator Hurtado was just awesome to work with and ran a bill, you may remember, SB 501. I called it the Levi's Bill, 501. Mm-hmm. And that bill was successful in a way. It got unanimous support at the Veterans Affairs Committee up at the state. It got unanimous a vote of approval in the Senate at the state, and then it was completely stalled and the Assembly refused to hear it. So the bill failed. Senator Hurtado was looking at turning that into what's called a two-year bill to see if we could get another go-round at it, and in fact, that attempt failed. I want to point out, I think it's interesting that Senator Hurtado is the same party line as the majority of legislators up there as the governor, and even she couldn't get this through. I mean, she really tried hard to work for our veterans. It's just really a shame what has happened up there. So with the failure of that bill, staff was forced to look at other options to try to keep the armory site for the veterans, and tentatively, and I say that because we did not take this to council, but tentatively we had offered to the State Department of General Services, we have a very old parcel of property that's roughly 22 acres. It's been in our possession since the 50s. We can't use it for what we initially bought it for. We asked the state if we could swap them, that 22 acres, for the 1 acre armory parcel, thinking, wow, they could do a lot with 22 acres versus the 1 acre. They declined that offer. And lo and behold, not only did they decline it, we had to kind of chase down that answer, but when we chased that final answer down, we recognized or realized that they had already distributed out a request for qualifications to developers to develop our armory site into low-income housing and dense low-income housing. The reason for that is because the governor had issued an executive order, and this has been a while before COVID and all of the executive orders we're hearing about. The governor has issued an executive order requiring any land that was state land that was set to be surplused needed to be evaluated for low-income housing potential. So we were running down the road thinking we were going to have to find a buyer for this property so that we could keep it as an armory. And in fact, that process stopped because of this executive order. And that's when it turned into the state seeking low-income housing developers. So at this point, I will turn it over to Rob because he can take you from this process on, and then we can sort of tag team answers as you have questions.
Absolutely. Thank you, City Manager. Members of the Council, Rob Terry, Community Development Director. So one silver lining, I think, in the process up to this point has been the fact that you have two departments at the state that are really tag-teaming this overall process together. You have the Department of General Services, which, of course, is the real estate arm of the state. They're the ones that are overseeing all the logistics of the site and any type of transfer contracts if it were to go over to a developer. And then you have Housing and Community Development, or commonly referred to as HCD. HCD is the staff that is really in charge of executing the executive order, and that is the placement of affordable housing units on former armory sites. So thankfully, over the years, I've had the opportunity to have a lot of communication with staff members at HCD, so the communication with them has been very good. They have been very open and receptive to the comments and the feedback that we have given. We have no jurisdiction over the site because, of course, it is owned by the state. So the fact that they have continued to allow us to give them that feedback and at some moments, I would say, even pester them over certain things that we feel are extremely important on that site and need to remain a part of it, namely a presence of some sort for the veteran community. This is an item that every single time that we have communicated with them, that is something that we have pressed upon time and time again, whether or not it was going to be first priority for veterans for within the affordable housing, if it was going to be a shared public space that they would allow veterans group to be able to use in perpetuity, whether under a contract or by right. These were all items that we had said that we really, really wanted to see. And they did, in fact, in the RFQ, touch on the existing use. They did not go very deep. If you read through the RFQ that they had sent out, they are pretty generic. So they didn't really go very much in depth. But one great thing that they did do was they said they encouraged anybody who was going to respond to that to reach out to the local agency where any site was that they were interested in, and communicate with the contacts there to find out about the history of the site and what the local preferences are. So that was actually a very favorable thing that they did. We did have multiple developers reach out to us that were interested in submitting proposals, and we shared the exact same message with them. This is what it currently serves as. This is how important it is to our community, and these are the things that we would like to be able to see. So even though they wouldn't have to go through the local process to get approval for the development, there has been at least a good portion of local input and openness to that input. We're going to continue to push on that every single step of the way as we go forward. The request for qualifications or the request for proposals closed on July 20th. I was on an email string where staff was discussing back and forth between HCD and DGS whether or not they felt it was appropriate to release the actual proposals that were received to the local agencies for their review and feedback. HCD feels that that is something that is important. DGS has yet to weigh in on that item, so we're currently waiting to hear back whether or not there's going to be something there. I do have to say that my opinion on that is that we likely will get the opportunity, given the fact that there has been good communication up to this point. But we're still working hard to maintain those lines, and would hope that within a couple weeks we would have an opportunity to see what those proposals are, so that we could give some feedback on how strong we think those proposals are. Even though we wouldn't have any vote or say in it, hopefully the local opinion and the fact that ultimately what's placed there by the state, if it's really supported by the locals and is something that's going to be a shining example of something done well, or unfortunate classic example of top down, I think they would have the latter, and so that's what the former, and so that's what we're going to continue to lobby for at this time. So right now we're waiting just to see if we'll get those proposals. If we do, we would certainly come back with some appropriate details for council on that, so that you have an understanding of the overall themes that we're seeing there, and hopefully the type of development that we'll end up getting ultimately in the end.
Yeah. So a couple of little things I want to add on. I want to highlight Rob's comments. Right now, as has actually been the case, the city has no jurisdiction over the Armory site. The city will continue to have no jurisdiction over the Armory site. All we can do is try to influence. We actually have no ability to change the state's goals with that site. And one of the things I do want to point out to this community, because this community has been sensitive to multifamily housing and particularly low and very low income housing, that is also something this council and this city have no jurisdiction over. And in fact, the RFQ that was put out gives a density bonus. So if developers can come in and make the affordable housing even more dense than is required for that site, they get a bonus on their proposal. Mm-hmm. So I say that because I know there will be people in our community that come out and say, well, we didn't get a chance to talk about not wanting low-income housing. This community has no say in that. It is the state's decision solely on that. So I do think that's very important. The other thing that this community should know is, under the state's section that governs this RFQ, and this actually applies to five or six armories that were all put together into this RFQ. So it's not Reedley alone. There are five or six armories up and down the state, San Quentin, Clear Lake, a couple of others. Emergency shelters can also be put at that site, homeless shelters, et cetera. And again, the council will have no ability to really control that site or what goes in there. So, you know, this staff has been very good about making sure that we do provide for low and moderate income housing in this community because it's a need. But we've been very clear that design dictates that. We've been very clear that property management issues need to be addressed. We've been very clear about how that site is developed so that we can make sure to control any issues that may come along. We don't want blight. We don't want crime, things like that. We won't have that level of control with this particular property, and I think that's really important for you and for our community to understand.
If I could also add, City Manager Ziba, that we have also had contact with the veterans group, so they are aware of the process and of the same details that we have shared with you. We will remain in contact with them, and their current contract does go through the end of September, so they do still have the ability to be there through that time. And we're going to continue just to work with them and put as much partnership pressure onto the state as we possibly can to get the best project possible for our community.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from the council? Comments? Wow, it's difficult. State seems to be running more than I care to hear about. But it is what it is, right? No questions from the council. We'd like to ask the public, if you have any questions, call in. 637-4200, extension 290. No public? Oh, I'm sorry. So we don't need the public to call in. Very good. So thank you for that information, Rob. Appreciate that. Wow. Item 11, minutes of the regular meeting. I guess we just mentioned this, of March 18th, 2020, of Reedley Airport Commission. Sarah Reed.
And actually, those items 11 and 12 are receive and file items. So is 13. So I'm sorry, we can move on to item 14.
Okay. So we go to council reports, and council member Soleno.
I had a meeting with the Southeast Regional Solid Waste Commission, but it was the first meeting we've had since June 2019, a long time. And all that on the agenda was just receive and report information,
okay,
except for one that had to deal with conflict of interest issues. And that's all we had.
Okay.
We're in and out of there in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, sir. Councilmember Betancourt.
I went to a meeting today. I was invited to a meeting with Horacio Aleman, Cruising for Jesus, and a couple of other ministers who would like to do a prayer walk of hope and unity for our community in August, if possible. And we just want to get together and pray for our community with all this that's happening, and just walk, meet at Mueller Park. They're working on it. Meeting at Mueller Park and walking down 11th Street and kind of going this way and coming back and meeting again, and maybe have a few speakers, a couple of the ministers speak on different subjects.
Okay. So, Ken Baker sent me an email. Was he part of that group?
I think he was one of the ones that we were going to ask.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, that's probably in the late August or the first part of September. Okay.
Yeah, it would be
it's
going
to be called a walk.
See, we had one several years back, I think.
We did the Jericho walk.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good idea. Councilmember Beck.
Don't have anything other than I'm tired of staying home.
Yes, sir. You and 100,000 people. Mayor Pro Tem Fast.
Well, I got to stay home, but I still had meetings. I attended the COG meeting, was an online meeting on June the 25th. And like I mentioned before in our other, when we were talking with the local transportation authority, that they're gonna be working on the Measure C reauthorization for this next year. And also they gave a report that Highway 180 is going to be finished to Frankwood Avenue by October 1st, according to Caltrans. So we'll see how that goes.
Mary, can I ask you a question on that? Are they going to have any kind of opening on that?
I don't know, because they didn't have anything for that extension.
That they've had one all along there. They did two or three since I was up there, and
okay.
I was just curious if they were going to do one for the final project.
I'll ask.
Yeah. Because former Supervisor Judy Case, she needs to be there, because she was a big part of getting completed.
Yes. Yeah, I remember back in 2008 or 2009 when I was on the COG before. We discussed this, and you know, I had the mayor of Fresno say, that's the road to nowhere. And I told her, I said, you come out here at 7:30 in the morning and tell me that's the road to nowhere. Yeah, she never did. But anyway, I refuted that comment. Let's see, what else did I have? Then I also attended the Upper Kings Water Management Authority board meeting. And let's see my notes here. They approved the 2021 budget, and we also approved that XIO Inc. was a private organization to be an interested party. And that's actually the first time that this organization has approved somebody as an interested party that was a private organization. And they do SCADA systems, hardware, and manage energy pump use. So they are affiliated with what that board does, but they are a private entity. So, I need to go back to the COG meeting too. We approved the budget at the COG meeting also. And we approved a REAP funding for $4.7 million to develop valley-wide planning for housing. So that's something that I'm sure will affect us. And they also approved the City of Dinuba deposit, City of Dinuba Transit Program for $51,000. And that was the program that Moses was speaking about that goes from Dinuba, I think somewhere near Walmart, and then goes downtown and then comes here to Reedley and brings people here to services in Reedley. And then what else? We had July 4th while we had our break, and we haven't been in session since then. And I was hoping that next year we could maybe have a fireworks show. I think that might help us with some of our problems with people doing their own private fireworks shows that aren't legal. I'm thinking, so that might be something we look at for next year. And then we were talking about the Reedley Family Apartments, and Chief Garza, I was wondering if we could get maybe a short police report on the family apartments there, if there have been any problems or any issues that you've had. Doesn't have to be tonight, but maybe for a future meeting, please. And that's all that I have. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no reports, so we go to staff.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of items. One, I do want to point out in your packet tonight, there is a final report on the utility bill forgiveness program that we did for the first round of shutdown that we had. You may recall that in the resolution, we committed to council to bring back a final report with the listing of businesses and the total cost. So that is in your packet. You'll see that there's a really nice variety of businesses that took advantage of that program. Very few had to be denied. They were denied basically because they were open, and this was for businesses that mainly were shut. So, and all that were denied were given a personal phone call and explained why, and everybody seemed to understand. So that was good. So that report is in your packet. On August 11th, that is our next council meeting. Right now, we have only two items. They're both not time sensitive consent items. And so if it remains that light, we'll probably move those items to the later meeting in August and go dark on August 11th. So I will keep you posted on that. But my my thought right now is that we will not have an August 11th council meeting because of the nature of the light agenda. And even though our lives are really just bombarded with COVID things right now, I did want to let you know that work is continuing in a variety of other areas, including our electric planes. So Joseph Oldham has been invited by NASA to contribute to a white paper on the use of electric aviation for regional mobility. So it's quite a feather in our cap. We've not only had Boeing interested, but now NASA wants us to contribute some statements to that white paper. Just really phenomenal stuff happening. So I don't want you to think that we've forgotten about some of this really innovative stuff that we've been doing. Obviously, all of our aviation work has sort of moved out of the limelight, but work continues. And in fact, we are still doing some lessons. Joseph has figured out a way to install some air purifiers and filters in the cockpit of a plane and is able to give some lessons. Pretty amazing the things he's done with air filters and air monitors. So we are continuing, although it really has slowed dramatically. I can't say that we're moving in full steam, but work is continuing. And in fact, there is a engineering firm related to aviation, you may recall, from the Arizona area that wanted to come out here. I've kept in touch with those ladies, and so as soon as things free up, they are still intending to come out here to tour what we had going. Obviously, right now we've got no kids using the simulators. Boeing is hanging on by a thread, some things like that, but we still have things happening. So NASA's still interested. I think it's fabulous. So wanted to also let you know you had a letter in your box concerning the FMAAA. That's the senior meals, and the letter stated that FMAAA would not be doing the contract for this coming year. That does not mean that our seniors will not get meals. What's happening right now is that FMAAA terminated their contract specifically with us, but they are providing meals, hot meals, to our seniors directly, so they're delivering meals. That will continue. So our seniors will still be getting fed. they just are not being fed in the meal setting at the community center. So I just wanted to clarify that. Once I reread that letter that we put in your boxes, I thought I wanted to make sure you would recognize that our seniors still have an opportunity to get meals, and we are still connecting seniors with FMAAA when they call in. If seniors aren't interested in that, we have a variety of other things we can do. The Gleaners program on Wednesday morning is still doing food distribution at the community center. I was telling Ms. Fast, the site opens at 8:30, and by the time I'm dropping off my daughter to help volunteer at 8, there is a line around the building in cars. So seniors really like that Gleaners program, I'll tell you, it's fun. And then Jody is also connecting with seniors, calling them weekly. And so if they need special deliveries, we're able to do that. So I wanted you to be aware that our seniors are still being taken care of in the midst of all of this. I do also want to say, as it's related to COVID, we are starting to get some calls coming into Sylvia. She's been screening some calls regarding Emmanuel Schools. Whether or not they go back in person or online, I just wanted to remind our council that we don't have jurisdiction over a private religious school. So at this point in time, we are referring people to Fresno County Office of Ed if they have concerns, but we don't have jurisdiction over that particular site. Also, as it relates to the COVID, the number of cases do continue to go up, and we are seeing cases continue to go up in Reedley. At last count, I believe we're at roughly 480 or something along those lines, with roughly 200 plus in the recovered mode. So at any given time, I would say we have somewhere around 200 active cases. Unfortunately, our death count has gone up as well, and it's roughly 8 or 9 at this point. There was some cases coming out of Sierra View Homes, unfortunately. So I will keep you posted. The county is no longer updating those stats daily. They're only updating them twice a week. So if we see any major pops, I'll let you know. Right now, what we're seeing from the county health department is that our apartment complexes that have multiple families living in small spaces, that's where the cases are really emanating from, where we're seeing families that are working at packing plants and in the fields, unfortunately, is really where we're seeing the case counts happen. So. Just wanted to let you know we're trying to stay on top of that, but obviously the virus is escalating throughout the county. So, and as far as the closures go, you are aware that we did help our gyms and other facilities by closing down some streets. I would say 99% of the feedback we've gotten has been great. We've got 1% of feedback where people are not happy because they've had to change their route to work. I get that. We are trying to really help each individual business. So we're not trying to do some broad brush stroke of a program. We're trying to help each individual business do what they need to do. And the one sticky wicket in all of this are the hair salons and barbershops. We have not yet figured out a way to really assist them. The state did release some guidelines that would allow salons to provide service, but unfortunately those guidelines are so stringent and really has to do with the fact that we're unable to allow anybody to go back into a salon for any water, so for shampooing, for color services, for anything. We've not figured out yet a way to help them, but we've offered through the chamber and through other networks that if salons have ideas, we are all ears, we are eager to help. But that's the last sort of business sector that we just haven't figured out how to really help yet. And that is the last business sector, besides the bars, that have to just remain closed until further notice. Yes, ma'am.
And churches.
And yeah. Churches.
Yeah, churches are closed. Yeah. Yeah. To be inside.
My thinking on it was businesses that couldn't operate because there was no way around it. So I recognize churches have to be closed on the inside. Salons, unfortunately, we haven't been able to figure out a way to even have them operate on the outside yet. So, but we continue to roll along in that. So, and we are still coordinating with all of our partners, the hospital, Palm Village, Sierra View, Reedley College, the school district. We're still meeting regularly via Zoom. And when we can, we're socially distanced on site just to make sure that we're supporting one another. So if you do have any questions for any of the other agencies, please let me know and we can track down some answers. Other than that, any staff with some?
City manager, can we just, for the public information, take a consensus on going dark on August the 11th?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, City Clerk. So I guess if we are able to, if we could just have a quick tally or informal vote on going dark, if you're okay with that?
Yeah. That's fine.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I was raising my hand too, because I don't count. good evening, Council. Just want to let you know that we are still moving forward, albeit with some precautions and some utmost care and caution, with our second Cops, Jocks, and Kids camp that that we had last year. We have 20 kids that have signed up for this one-day camp. Last year was 2 days, but we pared it down to 1 day just to kind of give us that opportunity to spread these kids out, be safe, keep them distance. We've been working very closely with Sarah and her folks, following some specific guidelines, keeping them outdoors, but allowing for that interaction between law enforcement, some of the coaches, and these kids. So we're just doing soccer this year. That's something that we can kind of keep kids very separated. But again, it's just an opportunity for us to continue that interaction with the kids and getting them out of the house maybe for a few hours, if nothing else. So so that's next Wednesday. It'll be over at the community center. I know it starts about 8:30 and goes till about 2. So more than welcome to come by and run around with us if you'd like. But our officers are normally all, we'll be dressed in.
I can get out of the house.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Our officers are dressed in their uniforms just like this, but wearing tennis shoes or cleats or whatever it is, just so that we can interact with those kids in a different environment. So just wanted to let you know.
And thank you, Chief, for doing that. Yeah. Those are very important things for kids to get comfortable with the officers and know that they're good people.
Absolutely.
And willing to help.
Yeah, it's something that stays with the kids for the rest of their lives. So that's a good thing. Thank you. Any other questions from the council? Comments? Very good. I just had one question, City Manager. You mentioned, and I may not have understood, Emmanuel Schools has, they can operate.
So Emmanuel Schools is a private religious school. They don't take state money. Okay. They don't take federal money. They are private tuition funded, and they are not under the jurisdiction of the school district. They're not a charter school. So we don't have jurisdiction over schools. Emmanuel, I guess, has decided to go back with kids in the classroom. So we have been getting a few calls, but we've been referring them to Fresno County Office of Ed for the county superintendent of schools to deal with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how different would that be with churches?
Well, frankly, as religious institutions, government tries to stay very separated at this level of government, tries to stay very separate, as the Constitution calls for, with church and state. So we have not been getting involved with churches as well. When we are receiving any complaints, we do refer them to the Fresno County Public Health Department.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Very good. I think that completes our meeting, right? Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening, and we'll see you on August 25th.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. Thank you.